this last week, if you remember, we had Charlie Wahlberg on, and we were talking with him about then the upcoming TEDx. TEDx is a unique kind of a gathering experience. I think all three of us, am I right on this? All three of us have been TED fans, TED Talk fans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've tapped a couple of them on YouTube before and found them quite entertaining.
Yeah, I have the Apple TV, and I literally, there's one category there is TED, and I have sat there for over an hour following a thread. Like, that was about DNA research and the guy who initially discovered the helix. And
that was a woman that discovered the helix.
Was it a woman?
Yeah, the guy just took the credit.
No kidding. Wait, you're kidding me.
No.
Seriously?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, we darn. Well,
it was a partnership. But I, you know, what do I know? I'm just a stubborn German.
Well, any yeah. case, I like listening to the, I love listening or watching, in this particular case, these TED Talks. They're about 15, 20 minutes long, which is nice. They're a smaller bite. And even if they get into something pretty complicated in terms of technology, they're not there at it too long. And they also include visuals on the broadcast they're on.
Mm-hmm.
I know Apple TV, for instance.
Yeah, it really bugs me when I drive and they have the visuals on.
Yes.
And I'm listening to it on my Android, and I'm like, oh, I can't look. You know.
Well, we got a chance to look this last weekend on Thursday, October the 6th. Charlie Wahlberg, who was with us here, very kindly set aside press passes for the four of us: Gary, Cal, Ed, and myself. And we went down to the Fox Theater, and I'll just start right off. What were your impressions, having been TED fans, of having watched those little snippets, if you will, those individual little talks? What was your experience of the whole thing like? And Ed, let's start with you.
I enjoyed it. It was actually kind of long. I didn't expect it to go that long, but I enjoyed it. You know, when I looked at the guest list, and I'm like, I had to remind myself, you know, there was science, you know, medical, you know, the guy from Delphi was there, and that would have been interesting. I said, guy, I'm sorry. It was Jeff Owens from Delphi, and I looked forward to that. And then there were a lot of artists on there. And then I had to remind myself, you know, I would not have clicked on watching something from an artist,
right,
you know, or a
right.
band or something like that. But then I had to remind myself that when I'm listening to TED Talks, I used to pick and choose.
Yes.
And I stopped doing that. I could select any one of them and then randomly select the next one. They're all good.
Yeah.
They are all good. They're all very inspirational. They're informative.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening talk from Kerry Turner
mm-hmm.
was talking about the Komenei Fund Foundation.
Komenei Young. What an incredible mayor of Detroit, yeah, back in the 60s.
And, of course, he put a positive spin on everything,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about how it was like a dad's discipline.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was a very inspirational, impassioned speech, and it was very good.
I didn't know what to expect from the Komenei Young Foundation because I think, like a lot of people here, there were mixed reviews on Komenei Young, and he was a... He was a very colorful character,
mm-hmm.
and not always the kind of person.
I didn't know he was a Cassini, Arsini Airman.
Tuskegee
Airman. Pardon me.
Thank you.
Tuskegee Airman. Yes. Yes, I had not known that either.
I probably knew it and remembered it.
Cal, how about you? Just an overall impression, first of all.
Well, I went in, I got to be honest, I was looking for just tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons times 10 tons of technology talking. And when I got there, I forgot that the TED stands for more than just technology. So once I got there and got my head in the right place, I found some very enjoyable talks that were going on. And as Ed said, some of them were very inspirational. And most of them were informational for me and just a good time. And it was interesting just looking around at the people in the audience that were there.
I felt very old.
Oh,
very, very old.
Well, that's because you came too early. You went to the Bill Knapp's version. I'm just kidding. When I got there, I saw I will agree with you. There were a lot of young folks there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
a lot of students. I think they said somewhere, was it above 600?
Above 600 students.
Yeah.
There was a flush of millennials all over the place. But I sat kind of in the back because I wanted to get a good view of what was going on and everything. And I saw a lot of people, not a ton, but I saw quite a few people rolling close to my age that were in there looking at things as well. And so it was really kind of enlightening to see that it does cover a cross range of people. I mean, specifically more of a younger set, but it does, there's a cross range of people that showed up and wanted to see what was going on.
I think I have to say that I was at, because of the variety that was there, I was delightfully surprised by some of the artists. I don't know. You have the schedule in front of you there. What was the name of that young woman?
It was Kismuk Jordan.
Yeah, this 18-year-old young woman gave a poem that kind of makes the hairs in the back of my arms.
Oh, the poem. There. That was Zari War.
Yeah.
War.
Where, I think.
Where.
Zari Ware. 18 years old, young woman gave out this incredible poem that just was so powerful. And then the other woman that you mentioned.
Yeah, Kismuk Jordan.
Kismuk Jordan had a vocal range.
Least 3 octaves.
It was just astounding. And she had a band behind her.
And it was a cross between gospel and operatic.
Oh, yeah. She swapped between gospel and operatic. So you had that going on. But then at the same time, they had a scientific display there of the
histosonics. And it was by Christine Gibson.
Yep.
And Gibbons. And basically, they use basically the same stuff that we use for ultrasound. But they were able to get to a point where they can actually destroy tissue, hopefully tumorous tissue, by doing just the opposite. And the example was given was for liver cancer.
Yes. They're using they found a way of focusing the sound waves in such a way that they can cause it to destroy a tumor. And the first human trial is going to take place in Spain next year.
Yes, exactly.
And I found that absolutely incredible what they were showing. And then you went across the street to Comerica Park, and they had in the, for those of you who've been to the ballpark, you know, there's that huge mezzanine that goes around the stadium above the,
where the Paul Harvey statue is, right?
That's right, right. And in
not
there,
Paul
they
Harvey,
had,
I mean,
Ernie Harwell.
Ernie Harwell, there we go.
Good day.
They had displays of all sorts of things that were there.
Yeah.
I did think that looked a little bit like a science fair. In terms of the way it was displayed, and in comparison with the classy settings you had at the Fox, it was a little bit like that. But it was still interesting. And Cal, you mentioned the virtual reality when we were talking about this. That was something that you couldn't get at those booths,
right?
Yeah, I figured those were going to be very, very, very busy. So getting in that's going to be a little rough. You'd have to get across the street real early, maybe leave the talk just before they stop.
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah.
There were 2 points in there when we were sitting where Foster closed his eyes during the Don White presentation of the Osseo Energy, which is basically wind energy without turbines. And the wind actually passes through a set of, if you will, fins that have water molecules in them. And the wind basically, as it passes through these, it actually removes atoms from the molecules of the water molecules, and it builds a static discharge, and they capture the static discharge or the difference of energy, right? Because it's almost like a static discharge,
right?
And they're able to use that to generate energy, 100 watts per square foot.
And the cool thing about this is the technology has been out there for this long, but they're now refining the technology.
Yes.
So that, and that's being done locally with an organization here. So some fascinating responses to TEDx. And thanks so much to Charlie Wahlberg, who made that possible for us.
Yeah, it was a blast.
We'll be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about TEDx and then also about the Google gadgets. Welcome to our podcast. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the producer and co-host of the program, and we're having a good time just kind of kicking back and talking about a number of things from this past week. We've been talking about, with Ed Riddell and Cal Carson, talking about the TEDx Detroit, which took place this past week. And again, thank you so much to Charlie Wahlberg, who made it possible for us to be there. And I have to say, guys, I was just incredibly impressed with how smoothly the whole thing ran, given all of the components. There were 3 segments where they had performers coming on and were presenting for 15 to 20 minutes apiece. And it could be everything from giving a talk with slides, or it could have been there actually were puppet shadow puppets.
Yeah.
That was, to me, the most bizarre of the presentations. But TED means technology, entertainment, and design. And so you see everything in there, the different facets of all these different things. And it was kind of like chop suey. It was a lot of different stuff.
But if you put enough sauce on it, it tastes really good.
That's right.
couple other performances I saw, James K. Moore did a poem. And probably had you been there, it had been the same reaction that I would have had if had I been there when that young woman did her poem, too, because it was very intense and very strong and that sort of thing. And it was like you could tell that it was probably one of his first or second performances live doing it because his emotions and his ability to deliver were all winding there together. But he got through it really well, and it was pretty good. I really enjoyed the Fourth Wall Theater Company. They came out and explained what theater was all about and why it's important for our culture and society.
Very interesting. Yeah.
And then they had a group of about 25 young folks that came out, and they did a theater presentation all using sign language.
Oh, wow.
And it was very, very entertaining to watch and interesting. Yeah. And then the last thing that I really enjoyed, there was a gentleman named Eric Thomas from Sega Marketing. And he went through talking about all the things that should be good about Detroit as opposed to how we say what's bad about Detroit. Mm. And it was just really fulfilling to get that information coming to us.
Now, there was another gentleman on there and you and I were commenting on this, very lively, Aaron Draplin, and he designer, and he was born here in Michigan, went to, where is it, Idaho or Montana?
Oregon,
God's country out there, and spent some time in Alaska living in a car, and has a successful company now, very much involved with, actually got several contracts as design logos
for the government and
political parties. And you could tell which political swing he was bent towards.
Oh, he is so countercultural too. And that was R-rated, folks. Yeah. That was definitely R-rated.
But it was good. I mean, he dropped the F-bomb, I don't know how many times, but it was very good.
Grab your ears.
it was good. And the other guy from Mob Steel, so another local company that during the downturn, 2008, 2009, was able to take the downturn and the gentleman lost his job in the automotive industry and took his passion and was able to do custom vehicles.
Exactly.
And then now it does custom wheels as well. Mm-hmm. And he's working with the automotive aftermarket mm-hmm. to make these vehicles available as an option for the dealerships. It's just remarkable.
Would you guys recommend this to anybody in the future if it, you know, came up again?
You know, that's a good question because I'm not really sure.
Or to a certain audience?
If you're interested in technology, entertainment, and design, yeah, you should go. If you're willing to stretch your envelope in those areas, if you're willing to look at, those three different areas in one setting, if you're willing to say, what could be in design that might work for me in technology, or what could be in entertainment that might work for me in design, or across those different mm-hmm. streams and be able to pull something off that and use it, then yeah, you should go.
And that's the whole purpose of TED Talks and TEDx is to intertwine the different disciplines mm-hmm. of our culture, the theater, the engineering, right. and the design,
and I think
the sciences.
When Charlie Warburg came on stage and presented at the beginning of the day on Thursday, he set it up as this is creativity. And what you're going to get experience here is creativity in a whole lot of different settings. And hopefully it'll spark creativity in whatever field you're in. So maybe an artist who talks about their story and where they've been that sparks you to do something in software. Or somebody who's been creating something in medicine, for instance, this technology for curing cancer. It was interesting because the day that I went out there was the day, 7 years almost to the day, that I received my diagnosis of cancer. So to see somebody coming up with this new technology for dealing with cancer, solid form tumor cancer, was like, wow, great. So, I mean, you're inspired in a lot of different ways. And that was what I think he hoped would happen, would be people would go away really pumped up to do something in whatever their field was, not to become poets or programmers.
But you know something? This kind of all goes back to the part, and I know Gary will throw a rock at me, but this goes back to the Steve Jobs philosophy on how he came up with products. The reason why he invented the laser printer, or not invented the laser printer, but pushed for the Apple LaserWriter printer, is because he wanted to be able to create beautiful books. And he had the tool as far as the computer to do that, but for printing it off, the dot matrix printer wasn't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted something more powerful, something more stronger, something that gave him the choice of different fonts that were artistically beautiful and stuff like that. And that's what made him push for the laser printer for the Apple.
And that's been one of the hallmarks of Apple products has been, not to push it too far, but I think has been the beauty. And we tease about Johnny Ive and the, you know, the design that goes into the Apple products. But if you've ever opened up a box that an Apple product came in, the box itself has been beautifully designed.
Yeah. Even the packaging, everything about it. I mean, and the product itself, it did reflect a different element, and it brought the quality of the product up, not just for Apple, but for everybody else, because eventually other companies would design things very similar to it.
Yep.
So yeah, the blending of artistry and technology together is a great idea.
And I was glad because several of the students that we talked to, because there were over 600 students that were there, and if you registered, it was free for the students with chaperones and a lot of school systems.
Oh, a lot
I think
of them,
was one of them Hope.
Hope College was a group of the ones who had developed one of the products.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah, I forget which one it was, but it was really cool.
And but it was good. A lot of STEM teachers, so a lot of people that were involved in the school systems.
We talked to some kids from Cody High.
That's the one.
From the West Side.
Yep. And so they were, you know, for students who are about to leave high school, and they're in the accelerated programs, obviously, and they're about ready to go to college and choose their career, something like this is inspirational. And as I said to you just earlier, this was like seeing 20 commencement speeches.
Yeah.
It really was all inspirational.
It was interesting. You were talking with some of the kids about STEM because your son went through STEM, this science, technology,
engineering, and math.
Engineering and math. He went through a STEM program out in Brandon, right?
Right in Brandon. But it really was, he could have been STEAM with arts in there because he did a lot of arts too. And that's his bend right now, although he did very good in all the other classes.
The teacher we talked to was talking about the need to continue to develop that as part of serious curriculum for kids, particularly for young women, because they tend to drop out and consider math and those kind of things. In middle school, exactly. They may be very good up to that point, but they can't, because this isn't stuff that girls do. Well, we know from working with the MCWT, where the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, got some big events coming up recently and very soon, that is something that is so important for them. And they've got some great programs going. We'll be talking about them in some of the
future. And this also helps, exposing the younger folks to seeing more dimensions to a possibility. Yes. You know, okay, so you got this smarter than whip kid that's sitting there and they're going to create this box of electronics that's going to do something. But at the same time, maybe that box of electronics, instead of just being a square box, needs to have rounded corners to it, needs to be a different color, those sort of things. By exposing them to design along with the technology, it'll make them think, quote, out of the box so that they can come up with better things.
Maybe that's the bottom line on TEDx Detroit. Mm-hmm. It made us think.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Outside of our box, whether it was technology or whether it's art. Because some of the things that impressed us most were like poetry or song that came out as well as the technology that was there.
Yeah, because it makes us step worse. Strongly in technology, probably light on the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got exposed to something that you normally wouldn't be thinking about and go like, maybe I got something. Maybe there's something to that can be incorporated in my everyday life to change how I view my technology. So yeah, it's a great exposure to it.
Remember that great cry from college, culture, that's our cry. If we don't get it, we will die.
Wow. Did they say that back in those days?